Welcome to Bagel Tech Big, the weekly show from the Bagel Tech Network, where we discuss the entire week in tech, everything that's happened in the whole world all week. And it's been a fantastic week for crap news. So we're going to get into it. Joining me to discuss the week's tech is the usual crew at the fantastic panel. Top left, Mr. James Hart, newly recovered Wi-Fi and an internet connection, it would seem.
Well, it's barely a network at home. Now, my studio computer is connected to the cable modem. If the children want to use the Wi-Fi, they've got to go to sleep. That's the fact.
It's a good tool, mate. It's a good tool. Exactly. So we've narrowed it down to the wireless router that
you've... very expensive router that I just bought.
Sorry, mate. You went on about that so much.
I know.
I feel dreadful.
It went a bit wild, didn't it?
No, never. You've gone a bit red, actually. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
That'll be your anti-core thingy tonight, then.
Absolutely.
Well, no, I mean, it's not the router. It's presumably you've got a knackered one.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to send it back and tell them to.
It's all right, mate. You're talking to the man who gets raw chicken in restaurants, so don't feel bad.
My dad needs a router for Christmas. He's selling it.
Yeah. Does he want to use Skype on it?
Have you still not managed to get one off eBay, you tight ass?
No, I might not get one though.
I'll be honest with you. I bought my dad a 17 quid one, happy as Larry.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a few spare ones kicking around here as well.
Yeah. The man with the airtight sphincter is Steve Neighbour. How you doing, mate?
I'm great, sir. How are you?
Okay, I'm good. A busy week for you, I gather.
We had a famous person turn up to Elmug.
Alex Fox,
yeah, he did a brilliant job. He was an absolute gentleman.
I heard he was good, and you came and showed me the pictures, and I've got to say, the pictures look great.
Oh, the Elmwood photo walk was brilliant as well, yeah. But Alex was absolutely perfect on the Elmwood night. He drew me in the raffle.
Yeah, I heard about this, and there was a big scandal.
Yeah, but no, it was a good start to the week, and it's been a busy week of work and parties and lots of Christmas stuff. So yeah.
Now, I mean, you finished the photo walk and you came up to Ironbridge for the British Mac curry and beer thing, which was a trial in itself because you didn't get there till 10 p.m.
Well, but, no, Carl kidnapped me. Let's get this fact straight.
I didn't want to go.
I saw the tweets about that. I didn't realise it was true.
Yeah, no, I'd never want to go to a party, and this big 6 foot giant Carl just wrapped me up and put me in the boot and said, "You're going to get out when we get to the party."
So, that's the kidnapping.
How did you explain that to your wife? Don't tell me you went without permission. I don't believe that for a minute.
No, I did get permission. Of course, I did.
It's not kidnapping, is it? So, well, have you? And what I'm trying to say is, have you spent a day from then till now where you haven't been pissed?
No.
Good lad.
I did the pub quiz on Monday night, organised that, and on Thursday, and then Tuesday went out for another meal, and then Thursday we had a treasure hunt, which I organised for work. We had 140 people running around London, which was good fun, and worked out, nobody got hurt, so yeah.
Always an aim. Steve, we're messing with the microphone. Do you know that's an end-facing receiver, don't you, Sarah?
Sorry?
You have to speak in the end.
Oh, it's all right. It's fine. You can hear me fine, can't you?
No, there's a load of echo now. Turn the mic so it faces you.
Oh, I like it. I don't like it in the picture, that's all.
No, put it down and get the thing to point towards your face. The end of the mic has to point towards your face, not the side.
It's fine. I'm sure you can hear me all right now.
So you've been doing this for ages. I thought you'd know how to do that.
No, turn the mic through 90 degrees so it points towards you.
I never have it pointing towards me.
There you go. Thank you. Finally, no echo. Perfect quality. That's all we need.
And good position as well.
Yes. So how are you, mate, now you've got your mic straight?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Yes, a week of not partying, unlike Mr. Neighbour.
Oh, bad luck.
Yeah, I know. I'm hoping next week's going to be better.
And lastly but not leastly, Mr. Grant, how are you doing, pal?
I'm not bad, mate, not bad. Bit of hectic evening, but otherwise it's fine.
Now, did you check out the tweet from the Rither Arms last night?
I did. That's apparently a piece of work you've got to do before you can prepare yourself for 50 ounces.
50 ounces of prime beef.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No.
I thought 32 was bad enough.
Well, if you've, I mean...
There's a picture.
Ian,
I saw the picture.
Ian and I have picked the Rither Arms as being the Twitter handle to follow, RYTHREARMS. And it says, steak looks good, but believe me, you need to prepare for that amount of beef. I mean, what are we talking here? Sit-ups? To aid digestion?
Sit-ups, mate.
Enema?
Yeah.
Oh, syrup, no.
Syrup of figs. You've got to be ready for that.
Yeah, you've got to have syrup of figs.
How much was it?
That's got to be 60 quids worth of meat, hasn't it?
It's got to be free if you can eat it.
It's 49 quid, I think, that particular steak.
Most of a cow.
That is a steal.
You mean they don't give it to you on the house if you manage to eat it all?
Oh, no, I think I'm not sure if they do. There is one round here that does do a big steak, and if you clear the plate, you don't pay for it.
Oh, no.
I was in a restaurant on Tuesday night, and they had 200 grams of beef for £100.
That's
a lot.
I don't know whether you guys have ever seen this, but I discovered a few weeks ago a program on one of the cable channels called Man Versus Food.
Oh, that's excellent.
Exactly what this sort of thing is about, and it is hilarious to watch it.
I refuse
to go into any restaurant that gives you a t-shirt for eating something.
Oh, true, I agree.
Well, we're on the food topic.
Go on then. The Bagel Tech food, away you go. Hey, actually, that works.
Can I tell you one of the worst questions that someone ever asked me?
Well, you can't not now.
Is it clean?
What food would you eat if you had to eat a food that you knew you were going to be sick on?
You were going to be sick?
Well, I'd have steak. If I knew I was going to throw it up afterwards, then fair enough. But I don't get that question.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
You mean as in if it's a food that you know would make you sick, what would you
choose? Straight away or after a lot of it?
No, that you had to throw it back up again. What would be most enjoyable?
Well, mate, I've got to say that when we had rugby and cricket matches that were a draw, who's got the volume up there? Can you turn it down? I hear myself back.
I don't believe it's me.
Ian?
Yeah,
it's definitely not me.
I can hear myself back.
It's not a radio chat show. Could you turn it off, please, Lord?
Yeah, no. Anyway, no, end of rugby matches. If it was a tie, we used to have an empty and fill a pint glass back for the winner.
Oh, that is horrible. Men!
Goes with the territory,
dude. Before the show, you were going into some disgusting details.
Sorry. It's the life I've led. The best steak ever in the whole world is at the Peterhof Hotel in Constance. And you go there and you order 100 grams of meat, 300 grams of meat, whatever it is that you want. And they bring it out on a stone plate that's just a flat piece of slate, really, effectively, that's been superheated in an oven. And then they just drop raw meat on it. And you sit there and turn it and carve it off and turn it and carve it off and turn it as it cooks.
You have to do it yourself.
You have to.
That sounds great.
You have to do it yourself. But the thing is, you just keep turning the meat. And the stone thing is so hot, it's unbelievable. But you
sounds
just
like,
keep
it's like real life
it
cooking mama, isn't it?
It is. Anyway, the week.
Bagel Tech food.
Yeah.
The week in tech. Should we start again?
That was good.
Yeah, it's a good intro.
The
it's
week.
Build up for Christmas.
A beef bagel. Now I'm hungry, says Robert. Yes. The week in technology. Indonesia says BlackBerry can go get stuffed unless they give them the code so that they can spy on all of their people. The Spotify radio is going to come out to try and dump Pandora. This bloke here is getting pretty pissed off with the fact that people are doing whatever they want with domain names in the States, and there's been a whole pile of seizures, mostly a Spanish football website that has had allegations only, no proof, allegations that the site was promoting links to illegal streams of sporting events, so the Yanks pulled it anyway. And also Light Squared, which is the American public Wi-Fi system, is been proven to have GPS floundering capabilities, and it's done some real damage. And lastly, but by no means leastly, we'll do talk about this, I'm sure, Google has decided to create a Siri alternative, and they've called it Majel. Isn't that nice?
Mm.
After Majel Barrett Roddenberry, who was the
star at Rex.
Yeah, she was
the computer. Wife of Jim Roddenberry.
Computer.
Yeah,
well, exactly. Yes. Right. The Americans deciding to be the police of the internet. They've yanked a few websites where there's been allegations of wrongdoing and that kind of stuff. And people are getting all over freedom information and all on the high hills. And I've got to say, there's a bit of me sitting thinking, how dare they?
No. Now, this isn't the thing that Jimmy Wales is getting all wrapped up about. This is
that's Soper, isn't it?
That's soap. I mean, they're basically coming down hard on the internet. This is something that's long been kind of expected, because the internet is kind of is its own world. And the Americans go, well, we've finished with Iraq, we've finished with Afghanistan. Let's do the internet. Roll them in.
World Police. Team America has never been truer than this week with the internet seizures. But this website, and this is quite interesting, is that this is a Spanish website. It's a .spain domain suffix.
.es.
Yeah, .es. And yet they've had to register a case citing prior restraint of speech against the First Amendment in the US to get anything done about it.
Which just proves my point that the Americans think the internet is in America.
Well, exactly. To a certain extent, they ultimately control the DNS, don't they? The top-level DNS, so they can do it. They can get away with doing that.
This stuff's all at the DNS level, isn't it?
Yeah.
What does that mean then, Sarah?
Well, the top-level DNS domain name servers, there's, I can't remember how many of them.
There's only six, isn't there, or something?
Something like that. But it ultimately, because DNS is, it works its way up the tree to find something, it means that the top level can be controlled. And obviously, because the internet was created in the US, they are in the US, which means effectively that the US can police the entire internet, do what they want with them. Sad state of affairs, but someone's got to.
Does that mean they can pull down any site, or is it aspects of sites?
They can certainly control it, and they could effectively, because a lot of the things we use will go through there. Yes, they can effectively wipe it out.
So listen, what I need you to do is write down the IP address of your favourite website, just in case.
That'll be bageltechnews.com.
Absolutely. Oh, the IP address is, come on, absolutely. Sarah, come on.
I don't know. As a sysadmin, I really ought to, but I'm certainly not going to broadcast it.
Steve, you look quizzical. You've got a lot of questions in that head, haven't you, at the minute?
Yeah, I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, come on then. So come on, be the average Joe.
I thought that was alcohol haze, actually.
That look of blankness. Come on, ask the question.
The thing that they were trying to control recently, wasn't it, with the Iraq situation and Israel? I think Twitter is the one that they're kind of scared of, because it can be messages, communication could be generated by random members of the public and then get into most of the media streams quite quickly. So I was just wondering whether they can apply this type of control to individual Twitter accounts as well. That would be real freedom of speech, wouldn't it?
DT's just posted our IP address in the chat room. Thanks, mate.
I mean, if you're talking about individual social networking accounts, because Twitter and Facebook are all American, there's no reason why that they can't get I've forgotten the term. Come on, Ewan, help me out here.
Injunction,
that's the word. And go to Twitter or Facebook and say, pull this page down.
Now, I've got to say, I've got an idea in my head about DNS, but it's probably completely wrong. Explain how DNS works then. Because, I mean, there's country-based levels of DNS control, isn't there? So your local DNS can
IPs are the IP structure is four sets of digits. And they are split into regions, which actually make it easier when you're doing a lookup to actually find what part of the world to go to. But ultimately, at the top level, that because the way DNS works is, for instance, if you have an intranet on your corporate network, you'll put an entry in your DNS file so that anyone looking within your network for it will only go to your local DNS file.
Yeah.
But when you go to a remote website, it goes through that out to your ISP, whoever the ISP is, and then it will keep on going until it manages to resolve that name. And
it does it from the top level first. So it's com first.
No. It works from where you are up the tree. Right.
Up the tree.
So ultimately, I mean, yes, if something is local to you and, for instance, if I typed in a .co.uk domain, it may not be blockable from the US. From preventing me to get it here. It depends on how my ISP determined to route that, but in all probability, it won't go to the US. But if it's a .com or something like that, yeah, they've got potentially got a lot of control over that.
My understanding was that the British government, does the British government own the rights to the UK domain? I have a funny feeling that they have a registry.
They have the .gov, they own the .gov. .uk and various others, but in the UK, the .uk domain is Police by Namesco. Sorry, not Namesco. Nominet. I was getting confused there. Namesco are a domain host.
Yep. Was it a wives' tale that little old me thought that the internet was devised by the military as a form of communication that could never be destroyed? And if that's true...
Don't get the internet and the World Wide Web. DNS is simply a service which runs on the internet. The internet is a series of IP addresses and routes. And that is something which is very difficult to destroy because it's so diverse. But as soon as you start applying services to it, and DNS is a service to it, Skype is a service, all these services that people start to rely on, and DNS is one right at the bottom of that, people rely on it. I mean, when I first started using the internet, it was very difficult to register a domain name because there were so few domain registrars. Two, it was very expensive because there were so few and they weren't being thrown around easily. And therefore, which is why people had these long email addresses and long website addresses, because there were so few to go around. And actually, you could actually find it easier to remember an IP address than a domain name.
The thing to remember also is that the basis of the web, if you think about a spider's web, what that is actually portraying is the DNS lookups. So if you're getting from point A to point B on the web, you're going through a number of hops to actually get there, which could be any particular route to get there. But that is, in essence, why it's called the web, is because it's essentially a series of DNS hops from one place to another place to another place to another place to find the find the IP address for the domain name that you've typed in.
And then
finish off what you're saying, James.
I was going to say, once it's found the IP address, it does another series of completely unrelated hops to find the subnet that which you were looking for in the first place, that are controlled by the likes of Telehouse and all these large internet handlers around the world. That's a separate layer. It's amazing, really. Mm.
So that's the background to the story, effectively, because there's a point in the chat room, this isn't the news, is it? No, it's not. But, I mean, in terms of understanding the reach of the US government here, that was a good discussion. I learned a lot there anyway, and I thought I knew some of it. Are we saying that this is unavoidable, that the US government is going to be the police for it, there's nothing we can do about it, and short of sending ambassadors back home, we're kind of stuck with it?
To some extent, because of the nature of the way that the DNS lookup works, as I said, if there was a website that was .co.uk and the US decided to block it, they could stop anyone in the US from finding it, but they couldn't stop anyone in the UK from getting to it.
Right, so let's suggest that bageltechnews.com suddenly starts streaming illegal content out through a video player. What action could the US take against us? Because we're a .com.
Well, they can certainly block it in the US, and depending on, I mean, our .com is hosted obviously by our wonderful sponsors, UK2.
And just to point out as well, DT in the chat room is saying, remember, BagelTech users don't pay the DNS charge. That's got nothing to do with DNS routing, and it doesn't give the US any less power. But finishing off, Sarah.
Obviously. I mean, in our case, the .com is hosted in the UK, so there may be an element. It may be difficult for them to block it.
There are two elements to this. There's the blocking of the DNS record, and that's happened over the past in the past few years. They've had accidental blocking of DNS, where the wrong DNS record has rippled through the internet, and people have lost huge swathes of the internet as a consequence of it. And that's the DNS servers which is serving the wrong thing. But there's also the cancellation of a DNS of a domain name. And that's an entirely different thing. And I don't know if they're doing the seizing of domain names or seizing of DNS servers.
Seizing the domain name is what I think.
In which case, then, they could still as soon work as the domain the name IP. Disappears off the... Sorry?
They could still work under the same IP.
They could still work on the same IP, but they'd have to use a different name to find it. And that wipes it completely off every single DNS server. They're going right to the heart of it, right to the
register. I was
going to
say, there's...
Yeah, lift them off a certain level, they won't get through.
There is this blacklist, which is not exactly well publicized, which ISP used to control really bad sites, which is supposed to permeate around the internet between domain hosts.
So there's so many levels to this. And as it is then, the American government control certain parts of it, certainly the registry part and certainly the local DNS area.
The big parts of it.
And most of the Class A's as well.
The easy to reach parts, yes. It's like for example, Sky. If you've got a television channel that uplinks to Sky, to the Sky satellite system, you can uplink to it and you can pay a certain charge. But for it to appear on the EPG, so you just type in a number and it appears, that's an extra £50,000 a year.
Right.
And that's the convenient bit. You can find, I mean, there are some supermarkets that have their own radio stations, which are very economically broadcast over satellite. It's the easiest way to do it if you've got thousands of shops across the country. You don't want to appear on the EPG, but if you go into them and tune it in, you can actually hear it. So it's that kind of thing. But you don't want to have to do that with the internet, which is why DNS and domain registration happened.
So, I mean, Tony's saying in the chat room here the US only really controls their patch of it and no one can be really said to own it. But what they're doing is corrupting and taking away at the domain name level, which means that they have absolute control over it.
They do have more control than anyone else in the world because they control the root of it.
There has got to be, surely, some kind of federation or some kind of committee that monitors the actions of every nation across the planet in relation to the hosting of or not the hosting but the control of domains at this kind of level.
There is an organisation, I forget the name of it.
I thought ICANN was registration, but
thank you, James, that's exactly what I was thinking. That does actually manage this within the US, and they have a bigger remit than most other countries because of the fact that they obviously originally set up the internet in the first place.
But ICANN do this route in the US.
Yes.
Do you know what I think this is?
That smile says it all, Steve. Go on.
It's war.
It's war.
Well, it could come to
that. I want
the
lights to go red now and for us to go into war mode. Yeah. Play jingle.
Don't joke about this, guys. And I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but ultimately, yes, it could come down to that. And I would imagine that the US are going to fight tooth and nail when China become the biggest biggest country in the world in terms of economic GDP and all that. They will fight tooth and nail to hang on to that because that enables them to control a huge amount.
I do want to mention as a postscript, because DT90SPT mentioned in the chat room, don't get into SSL certificates, which make, on top of all the web traffic, the encryption and the escrow that goes on to make sure financial transactions take place safely across the internet. We are totally reliant on a bunch of companies to make sure that takes place. That is very scary.
That's a whole different story, and probably a bit too techie for this.
just to clarify, ICANN stands for the International Corporation of Assigned Names and Numbers, and it's to reach another person on the internet. You need to type an address on a computer and a name or a number. That address has to be unique so computers know where to find each other. ICANN is the society that coordinates these unique identifiers across the world. Without that coordination, we wouldn't have one global internet.
They've got to be evil with a society. They only have evil societies.
It is. ICANN, they're like a Bond organisation, aren't they?
I get the guy, the black
Spectre
chair with a cat.
Spectre.
Yeah. That's right. The next James Yalta Bond film could be about ICANN. Wouldn't that be dull?
if you took a country's internet and just shut it down, you would cause some major disruption, wouldn't you?
Based on the amount of violence there is in Bond films, you'd give him a computer to solve the problem. A, it'd be a crap film, and B, you'd go,
Yeah, I mean, there was some talk some time ago when there was a lot of stories about hacking, about getting into the core servers. Some of the hackers were trying to get into the core servers because it would take out a large part of the internet if they did. They could mess up the DNS records at that level.
Yeah, but it's not a good film, though, is it?
It depends on your point of view.
It's that well-known film, The Bloke at the Keyboard.
You ever seen War Games?
Yeah, but yes, I mean, at least
brilliant film. Oh, that was a cracking film.
At least there was a bit of running around.
Yeah, I know.
Indonesia has said that BlackBerry can go get stuffed unless it gives it its security code so that it can monitor traffic on the internet via BlackBerry.
War.
We're back to where we started, aren't we?
Does a week go by where RIM doesn't get it a good kicking?
Rim has got, I mean, Rim is the international piñata at the moment, isn't it? I mean, it is. Everyone has got a stick in their hand, and he's
that's
taking
a show name, Ewan.
The international piñata.
I like that.
And it's they are taking a stick to Rim left, right, and centre. They've been denied BBX as a trademark for their supporting OS system. Their phones have been in a right old state. They've lost service for that extended period of time a few months back, and now the new phone that they're hoping to push out, they've had to delay because it's just not ready.
Yeah,
they're in a right old state.
Yeah, I did hear something about their financial results as well this week.
Oh, go on. Is that bad?
No, I can't find the story. I'm just looking for it now.
No, but they were bad, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, of course.
There's a surprise. I mean, why
is it... They've been struggling for a while, though, for him. Sadly, though, to be honest. I know with everything else, everyone says, oh, it's a dead in the water. But for business, for enterprise, it's still the best solution out there. Still the safest way of sending data between two handsets safely.
For your Androids
and your iPhones, it's the only one that's encrypted, the only one that's reliable.
Yeah, but as the recent outage has shown, it makes it reliable when you're reliant on the one supplier to actually control the network.
Mm. Well, that's only if you, from my experience of that,
public.
It's only if you're using the BIS service and not if you're using proper BIS service in your own organisation. We had hardly any outages.
If Rim would have had the Apple lawyers about 5 years ago, they would have patented the whole principle of sending an email from a phone. They'd be made.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because, I mean, there's prior art now that had been done before that.
Rim's been doing this for nearly, I mean, ever since I've been working in the market. No, actually. Must be now coming on for one way or another, nearly 10 years I've been looking after Rim devices.
I was going to pick 10. Or another. So the only issue is the fact that it's only Rim that does encryption.
Yeah.
So that's why it's always Rim being asked for the codes, so that Snoopy government.
Usually,
can look
Rim
in.
Just tends to get stuff. To be honest.
Well, they didn't tell? Was it Saudi Arabia? They didn't tell them to get stuffed, and I don't think they're going to tell the Indonesians to get stuffed.
No.
Well, they had done the American government a few times when they've tried in the past. They've always said, no, that codes are proprietary. We're not going to release them.
It starts peeling up the edges, doesn't it, this way? Every little sort of scratch at the surface of this security thing is quite troubling.
Mm.
Steve, you got BlackBerry. I mean, did you suffer in the outages at all? Because yours is corporate.
No, not really, no. I hate my BlackBerry. I Twitter stopped working on it. I hate the thing.
Just take the battery out and put it back in again. Everything will work properly again.
Turn it off and back on again. Well done, Ian. Thank you.
Fix all the problems. Anything ever goes wrong with it, the first thing they'll tell you to do is to take the battery pop it back in again.
So that's like a hard factory reset.
Completely. It fixes 99% of what goes wrong with the stupid things.
Never mind. What about Google? They've come out with a Siri kind of attack with Magell. After Magell Barrett robbery, which is rather serendipitous, but is it going to be a bag of crap or is it a real Siri alternative?
Google have been doing the voice searching for a long time, haven't they? So they could have potentially a lot of data. Well, they will know what people want to search for with their voice, as opposed to Apple, who just chose, I want to know, I want to set a reminder, or I want to know where my nearest blah, blah, blah is. But Google should have the data in terms of what people actually use their phone to talk to search for. So I'm hoping it would actually be a lot better.
I noticed that on the register, it's just like Apple did. They bought Siri. Google have bought a company called CleverSense with their virtual assistant called Alfred, which isn't nearly as good a name. And it's a case of if Google can find the right people to buy and meld it, as you say, Steve, into the thing that they do well. Yes, they could do it well. Mm-hmm. But then again, I don't believe they've got the, you know, there's Google Calendar and there's Google Mail and stuff, but there isn't that kind of business ecosystem in Android yet. I don't find it being used as a business system. I mean, I've got Exchange email and Exchange Calendar on my Apple device, my work phone, and I reckon if I had Siri, I could make appointments for my work calendar and it would work seamlessly. I can't do that with my Android phone at the moment, so it's not it's still a toy for me, really.
I saw a demo of the voice recognition on Ice Cream Sandwich on is it the Google Net, the I forgot what the new phone is, the Nexus
Nexus S.
Not the one I've got. It's the new one that's just out.
Nexus Prime.
The one that's got ice cream sandwich on it, and it was flawless. It was completely unbelievable, and it was doing it and sort of no more than a couple of seconds delay when you were dictating to it. It was brilliant. I was really impressed. I can't wait to get ice cream sandwich on my phone.
It just sounds so wrong.
What, ice cream sandwich?
Yeah, ice I know it does. It's a horrible name, but...
It just makes me think, no, I don't want... No, thanks. I'm not really one for desserts.
I know, I still reckon that chocolate teapot was the better one. I think they should have gone with that. That was my suggestion. Google have released the top searches of 2011. Have a guess what was top.
Royal Wedding, wasn't it?
No, Rebecca Stamping. Black.
That was a Royal Wedding.
No, it's in Rebecca UK. Black.
In Who's UK, Rebecca Black?
Top World Zeitgeist 2011 is Rebecca
what
Black.
What day and, is it?
Eh? 2011.
What day is it? It's Friday. Friday. Got to get down on. I'll shut up.
Eh?
What are you on
Steve
about?
Asked who Rebecca Black was.
Yeah,
I was about to ask who Rebecca Black was myself.
Right. I'm currently reading Wikipedia.
Yeah, me too. Because I haven't got a clue who she is as well. But
what do you want to tell us then?
Well, it started. She's an American pop.
Goldfish memories.
She's an American pop star. S.
Not even that.
Yeah.
Oh, what a surprise.
Her mother paid $4,000 to have a sing to, so that she could have a single with an accompanying music video. $4,000, and she's huge now. As a result,
she became a YouTube celebrity because the video was so woeful, the lyrics were poor.
Yes,
and she had a number one hit single out of it.
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to do next year.
And she was born.
You're going to bring a single out.
Hang on. This is what hurts the most, guys. She was born on the 21st of June, 1997.
We're old.
Ouch.
1997. God. She's only just older than Ellis by 5 years. That's unbelievable.
That was only about a month after Blair became Prime Minister.
Who was number two, anyway?
Anyway, she was top search. Two was Google Plus. Three was Ryan Dunn.
That's what Google said.
The number two search on Zeitgeist is Google Plus.
What's Ryan Dunn?
Some guy from Jackass who likes to open his nuts to the floor.
He's the guy
who's died.
Yeah, he wrapped himself around a tree. Yeah.
Oops.
Casey Anthony, who was the woman who allegedly killed her baby.
I just Googled
it.
How ironic.
For a month. You've just Googled it. I had to Google it as well. Battlefield 3, which I kind of get. iPhone 5, I kind of get. Adele, number 7. I thought she's popular,
well,
but steady
she
on.
She got unwell, didn't she?
Oh, right. And the number 8, I have no clue what that is because it's written in Chinese.
it's the thing about the. It's Japanese, actually. It's the. TEPCO, it's the company responsible for the Kashima power plant. It's on, if you look at the registers listing for it.
Thank you. Steve Jobs, number 9, and iPad 2 at number 10. We're a pretty shallow society based on those searches.
Damn right.
Not good.
Yeah, I saw a list, I'm trying to find it, of what the Brits typed in as the what is XYZ. And it was amazing.
Some
of the things.
Wasn't it?
One of the Scampi was one of them, and it was like something. So, like, what?
And chips. How do you find the UK one? Because I've got all I can get is the American Zeitgeist.
Sorry. I've got the UK one. Fastest rising searches of 2011. Fastest rising.
Yeah.
Royal Wedding, iPhone 5, FIFA 12.
I think it was on the BBC site earlier in the week.
Ryan Dunn.
Oh, yeah, there you go. What is AV? What is Scampi? What are truffles? What are piles? What is 4D? What are cookies? What is copyright? What is Zumba? I keep asking myself that. What is iCloud and what is probate? What is Zumba? I thought that was a vacuum cleaner. Exercise.
Zumba. It's an exercise, isn't it? Exercise video thing.
Yeah.
There we go. Anyway, back to voice search. So Google has got...
Who needs voice search when you've got Bagel Tech?
Exactly.
Indeed.
Just write to us. We'll tell you eventually.
can I do the top two searches for how to?
Go on.
I love the top two. Number one is how to revise. And the second one is when you're not doing revising.
How to snog.
How to snog.
Excellent.
Brilliant. I like DT in the chat room saying that Bagel Tech was the number 11 search. Just off the bottom of the list.
Really? That's so cool. Thank you.
In theory.
How to flirt is down at 7, so they're obviously favouring the more direct approach. Yeah, no, go back to the voice search then. I mean, the beauty of Siri is it's got access to Yelp, but you'd have said that Google's so much more powerful in that respect, surely.
If they don't squander it.
You think they're going to pee up the wall?
They're just not very good. They're just not very good at making things really usable. Do you know what I mean? Am I wrong? In that, Apple will come out with something. It'll be shiny. It'll be great. Everyone will go, you just press a button and it does it.
Yeah.
Android will go, scroll through menu, press a couple of buttons, and 3 weeks later it'll come and tell you something you didn't want to know.
I think that just about sums up the difference between Android and iOS. I mean, yes, Apple do make it very intuitive and very straightforward to use, which is why they are so much more popular than Android.
Oh, I've just recorded that, Sarah. I'm going to replay
that.
No,
credit where credit's due. You know, I mean, I'm critical, but I always say the thing about Apple is that from design point of view, they are world class, by far and away the best. And this is why, along with a lot of other things, they are so much better and they're so much more successful. As you say, it's almost like the Android and a lot of Google things are designed more for techies.
Sarah, put down the wine and step away from the computer. You will be ordering a Mac by the end of the night if you carry on like that. Stop it.
Now hang on a minute. You've got the photo evidence to prove that, Mr. Name.
I have, yeah, I have.
Now Steve Jobs has gone, the last barrier to Sarah owning a Mac has disappeared.
I am thinking about it, you know. I've actually got one at work. I've got a MacBook Mini at work.
Good Lord.
Steve Jobs is his heaven going, yes! Your nemesis has finally converted.
It's not my nemesis.
Anyway, do you want to finish off the Magell thing or not? Is it going to be? You're saying it's going to be completely unusable, James. It'll just be a user experience which is not very good as an experience.
Right. I've got my example. I've got Google Goggles. Google Goggles is brilliant. And I was showing someone in the pub this afternoon that you could just like take a photo of something and it will take you to the website that has. It will tell you the branding and it will take you to the website of the particular beer you're interested in or whatever. But it was still kind of too hard to do. But with the iPhone, it's just too easy. And I'm just wondering actually if people the feature may end up being there, but unless it's usable, it's not going to. Like another example, very briefly, if I may, is that every now and then I'll accidentally, while I'm typing, hit the little microphone button on the Android smart keypad and it'll go recording. And I'll be going, I don't know what to say now. If I say something, what will it do?
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Google is I think they pursue the web interface too much. Now, they're a web-based company, so I can get that. But what I actually want is a desktop interface for a lot of the applications. I don't want a web interface. I don't want a browser kept open with tabs running that I have to keep hitting Command R to get them to refresh. I want an application that refreshes itself constantly on my desktop. And that's where Wave failed, and I think it's where Buzz failed. And I think ultimately, very unfortunately, because I think it's a very good service. Google Plus may end up failing because of the lack of desktop integration, but they do the mobile device applications very well. They don't rely on a browser for those, which I think is the key to whether they succeed or not. So this thing, because it's going to go on the phones and that kind of stuff, they do exceed their expectations on the phone, surely. Yeah, could be interesting. Could very be interesting. Light Squared has said that the GPS market is in a right old state because their new Wi-Fi system that they're rolling out for public Wi-Fi across the states has started corrupting the GPS process. Is it going to throw it away? I mean, it's bound to have some impact.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a completely out there Wi-Fi network which is designed to cover all parts, and presumably there's some overlap between that and the GPS spectrum that it's actually using. So
it's right.
I'm
next
not completely
door,
surprised. Right. Yeah, exactly. So there's bound to be some bleeding between them, isn't there? But it's good that we're actually finding this out, because well-spread public Wi-Fi like this is the kind of thing that, you know, and I know that there's some places in the UK that are looking at it, and it's good to know the kind of impact that it's going to have. Hopefully, they can solve this problem.
I mean, the main problem they have is the fact that they need these high frequencies to be able to get the throughput of traffic. They can't use anything lower than these satellites of frequencies. And they're running out. There just isn't enough space there, really.
I mean, they're starting to cram everything they possibly can. I mean, the white zone now is taking TV signals to local areas and that kind of stuff. There isn't enough spectrum left.
And the spectrum that there is it's worth a fortune.
Your telly going off.
Yeah, the TV signal's disappeared, hasn't it? So it's left some stuff. But, I mean, is that high enough quality, though, for some applications?
It's not high enough. It can't take the high bandwidth. The higher the frequency, the bigger the amount of data you can install, you know. Because, you know, if at 400 megahertz, you can go 20 megahertz up and 20 megahertz down. At 1,200 megahertz, you can go 100 megahertz up and down. You know, you've got bigger space to play in.
Right.
Mm.
There's a question from DT in the chat room. Sarah, how does GPS work?
I know it uses satellites, but there's bound to be some interference.
You should have just said he's going to get a slap.
Even the guys on QI got it wrong. It's a single-way communication, basically based on the time it takes to get signals from multiple satellites at once. So you're relying on loads of different signals coming into your GPS receiver. If some of those have been obscured, you've got a smaller range of satellites you can actually pick up the location from, and therefore it's much harder to get a fix.
Well, you can't do a three-dimensional position without three signals.
Yes, you need four.
To do three-dimensional?
Yeah, you need four to do three-dimensional.
Oh, right, okay. I thought you could only do it with three. So you're really saying it's 2D3 or 2D2?
What? 2D is three.
2D is 3 and 3D is 4.
But but to get a really good fix, you need loads. And I mean, you know, 7 or 8 is probably optimal.
Yeah, I mean, the more you have, the closer the range you can do. Obviously, if you've got 2 or 3, you can do it within 100 metres or so. And the more you add to that, the more accurate you can be.
Mm-hmm. But of course, it's all complete rubbish if you can't tune in your GPS receivers because there's somebody else using it.
Exactly, which is why I was making the point about the interference with the Wi-Fi.
I've just seen the photo tweeted in the chat room. a very, very happy-looking Sarah on a MacBook.
Oh, I've not actually seen these, Mr. Neighbour.
What? Oh, you will now. Hang on. There you go. That's you smiling whilst using a Mac.
Yeah, that wasn't the only face I pulled. I pulled some really silly faces as well because Mr. Nate was getting a bit trigger happy.
You loved it. You know you enjoyed it.
The trouble was it was a blank screen.
I don't believe that.
It's interesting that Longball X has said that GPS are encroaching on their frequencies, not the other way around. They were just not using it before. That's interesting. Is that true?
No, well, the story that I read actually said that Light Squared is furious over a report that suggests that in various trials, a satellite broadband company's proposed transmission system bumps into GPS devices around 75% of the time. So what they're suggesting there is that I guess, I don't know if this is like who was here first.
Yeah.
But
very interesting.
It's causing interference. Well, I guess if you've got electronic signals between devices, it's a two-way interference. It can't be a single source of interference. You know, you introduce the third party causes interference. Because it got there second, it's automatically the one who's sending crap by default. No, I can't believe that GPS I can't believe there's a direction to the interference is interference, it's two-way.
Yeah, exactly, it's a digital signal, so it's either a bit like DAB radio and digital signal on TV. It either works or it doesn't. There's no interference or...
It's all about line of sight at those frequencies. If there's something in the way, it will get line of sight to the thing which is the best. It's got the best line to.
Yeah,
I mean, if a satellite in the best line, it will take that frequency.
Yeah, who was there first? I think is definitely the. Go on, Steve.
Well, not necessarily.
I'm not going to sleep very well tonight.
Why?
Because we're going to go to war. My internet's not going to work in the morning. My GPS is going to be corrupt as well. I'm going to be living in a black world tomorrow.
Welcome to Bagel Tech Doom.
Mate.
We've done food. We know we're doing doom.
Ellie's had a detention at school this week, so he's been really badly punished. He's been sent to his room with no toys, and he's got a book every night this week, and that's it. Ooh. And his world has been internet black, and he's actually
He's done a great job. He's really impressed me this week.
Funnily enough, my son,
we
gave him express. We told him that they basically had this thing at the end of term. They could take an MP3 player. I said, "Don't take your iPod Touch in; it'll get stolen or broken." He took his iPod Touch in, so we've taken it off him for a week, and he's now completely lost without it.
Yeah, no. Ellis is to his credit. Ellis has buckled down. He's read his book, and he's calmed down as a result because he's not got his toys. Yeah,
actually, James, that was a really good example because it actually shows them what would happen if it did get stolen.
There we go. Or lost his GPS or something, or war broke out.
So there you go, Steve. Your punishment should be to not use the internet at all tomorrow. You've got to wake up, make yourself a cup of coffee, and be normal.
Has my wife been texting you?
Pre-internet.
Has she been giving you some instructions?
Well, I do get emails off your wife's email account periodically.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
It's all coming out now.
Stuff now.
Well, I'm presuming that it's you that's sending them.
Oh, that's what she sells, isn't it?
They don't let any hugs and kisses or anything, so if that's what you mean.
Anyway. She's just walked in with a load of drunk friends, so I might get invaded upon.
Are they single?
Oh, God.
You might be invaded upon by all her drunk friends. Dude, hang up the phone. Go, go, go.
See ya.
Put down the pink earphones and run away.
Like I want a photo of Mr. Neighbour in pink earphones to go with me with a Mac.
Hey, they're not pink. They're Mrs. Dre. They're cool. Cool on the street.
Oh, they're not pink. They're cerise. Oh,
they're nowhere near cerise.
They're salmon.
That's bloody pink.
Cerise was the colour of
that
photograph.
I wasn't suggesting anything at all by that voice.
They are pink.
Girly pink. This podcast and everything else on the network would not be possible without UK2.net. You've heard them this evening. You don't have to pay the DNS management charge if you're a Bageltech listener. All you've got to do is help keep them afloat by giving them some money and buying their services, and Bageltech will stay around by default. Lots of you are, so definitely at the end of this year now. I mean, we're closing on to about 2.5 years of partnership with UK2, and a lot of you have bought a lot of service from them. So an enormous thank you from me to you, because without you guys buying domain names and that kind of stuff from them, we wouldn't stay on the air at all. We suck up so much bandwidth, and we've got an unlimited supply with them. They just pick up the tab and away we go. As far as I'm aware, we're going to have a chat in the new year, but they seem very happy, and I think we'll be extending it again for another year to come. So thank you very much for the support this year. It's been superb. All of the listeners who've purchased from UK2, very much thank you. And UK2 themselves, thank you very much. If you want to help Bageltech, then please use the click through on our website and go through, buy whatever you want from them, tons of stuff to choose from, have a look at the prices that they've got and how they compare. But do bear in mind, you're going to get 15% off you if you come through Bageltech. So use Bageltech as your offer code when you get to check out. 15% wipes off your total basket. And if you're buying a domain name or transferring a domain name in, use the offer code BAGELDNS and it gets rid of the main management charge. So,
If there are any DNS entries left.
If there are, yes, absolutely. I want streamitillegally.com, please. Unavailable. Bad luck. But if anyone's got it, UK2 has. Please support. Thanks ever so much. Right. Cool thingies. Mr. Hart, what have you got for us, dude?
The first thing I need to do is say hello to Simon in the chat room and hello to Yana because I like saying hello to people.
He's been a bit arsey. He's been having a go at Simon. Sarah, please explain GPS, etc.
It's a bit harsh, isn't it?
No, I know.
Dare you.
He's been testy this evening.
It's because she's drunk. You got her on a roll. You may as well kind of get all the knowledge out now.
Me drunk?
Which one's Yana?
Yana's Simon's wife.
She's over his shoulder.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, okay. I don't mean that as in like she's drunk and he's carrying her. By the way, it's not how it came out. But okay.
Right. Christmas is coming, and that often involves long drives to see family. And I'd like to highlight two podcasts, if I may. The first one is, as I say, it does involve long drives. And Bageltech Nonsense is ideal for that kind of thing because it is a long podcast. That's all I can say about it. So Bageltech Nonsense, if you haven't tried it, give it a listen. There are parts of it which are really quite funny.
There are parts. I haven't paid you to say that either, have I?
No, not at all. And the other one is, I didn't realise he did it, but Robert Falk, the Streak Machine at streakmachine.com, he does a podcast as well. very good indeed. So if you want to listen to the Swedish side of life and his rants and things, streakmachine.com, you can click through on iTunes as well. So two podcasts to listen to. I listen to loads, but those two are standout ones this week.
Yeah, I mean, Roberts is sort of 5 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, and it's just a bit of a sounding off about something that's got his goat. So it's very good.
But he's very well informed.
Streak speaks. He's also talking to us about coming and doing an iOS podcast for the network, so that'd be pretty cool. He wants to get into the technical element of it, so I hope he takes it up. I hope he does it, because it'd be really cool to have him on the network. Sarah, are you about to say?
I was going to say, he does also write blog posts for us as well.
He does. He writes a lot of blog posts for us that are usually pretty thought-provoking and make me realise how stupid I am.
He's gone
you
very
don't
quiet
need Robert to tell you that.
Well, he's gone very quiet because he's gone to bed, mate, about 15, 20 minutes ago.
Has he?
Well, I hope he'll be delighted to get a mention.
There you go. He missed his plug, but never mind. Mr. Neighbour,
Hello, sir.
I'm all right, thanks. Good week. Have you got a cool thing for us, dude?
It's got to be the pink earphones.
Oh, he's got... It's another visual one.
Christmas, almost time for us.
Put down the bad voice and step away. What have you got on iPad 2, mate?
It's 12 Days of Christmas.
Oh, you can't have that. Greeny,
why not?
Greeny picked it on Mac's show this afternoon.
Oh, who did?
Greeny. Did you show it to him last Saturday when he was pissed? That's why he nicked it.
I don't think if you showed anything to him, he would remember any of it.
I did ask him if his hangover had cleared yet, and he went, oh, I was pissed.
But since when did Will ever put anything decent on the Mac show? He did nick it. He must have done.
Oh, he's nice.
Well, the thing was, he went on to pick something else afterwards, which you've got to listen to the Mac show, but he should have stepped away after the 12 days. Steve, take us through the 12 days, mate.
If anyone doesn't know about the 12 days, then you should. Any iOS device has an app which Apple give away for free, which is called 12 Days, and it's lovely when you open it. And it opens up like a little present. And each day over the 12 days of Christmas, it will give you a free app or a free music video or a free song or... I think the TV shows.
There's some music
as well
in there, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good. It gives you all free stuff and it's free in itself. So, yeah, that's good. And I'm looking at Google Picasso as well at the moment. It's quite good, but that's something else.
No, 12 Days of Christmas. Greeny, Tony in the chat room says, Greeny will hate it next week, don't worry. Even Greeny won't hate it next week because it doesn't start until Boxing Day.
After
so.
Christmas, yeah.
10 days it does.
December 27th, different story. It'll be the biggest pile of turd you ever saw. Sarah.
Can I just say we've also got an advent calendar on our site for
we
Santa's
have.
Crap for Christmas, haven't we?
We have. Thanks to Dave Potter at Main Plus UK, we've got Santa's Crap for Christmas advent calendar, and it runs in an iframe straight off of his servers. And every day, religiously, Dave has been putting up the cool thing, and not the cool thing, the crap for Christmas, and he's done every single one. And it looks great. You flip over it and it shows you the picture and then it goes away again. And I love the ones at the weekends because it just says it's the weekend, bugger off.
Yes, a bit less polite than that.
It's the weekend, bugger off. I don't do a good impression of him. Okay, I'll move on. Sarah?
Mine's quite simple, actually. I know it's been out for a couple of months and you probably say, what, you've only just got to that now? How come you didn't jump on that one straight away? But it's the new version of Ubuntu, which I've started to play with.
What's it called? Is that Ocelot?
I can't remember what the name of
it
is called.
It's Oscillating Ocelot.
Yeah, I lost track of it.
Gyrating Giraffe.
I lost track of it after Maverick Meerkat, I must admit, which is one still my favourite. But I've just started...
11.10,
version 11.10, yeah.
Yeah, indeed it is, yes. It's a bit of a departure from what I'm used to, and I'm getting used to it, but it is. I'm looking for a stable version to upgrade the host OS that all my VMs sit on top of. So I'm trialing it, and it does seem to be quite solid, but it does take a bit of getting used to, but I would recommend it.
It's really good. So, Ian, did you have something to say there?
Yeah, how did you find the new interface? The weird and wonderful... Unity, is it called?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the applications, I'm used to having menus and stuff that you pull stuff down off, and you actually have to search through it through the big button at the top, which is that's what I say about starting to get you. It's a bit of takes a bit of getting used to, but I am slowly getting used to it. And settings are in a completely different place as well. It's got all these, for those people that haven't seen it, it's replaced the menus that you had previously with a series of buttons, and I've deleted most of them, but there's still a few there, and you've got the settings and things like that. I wish I could change it back personally, but I am getting used to it, and obviously it's where Ubuntu are going.
Paul in the chat room says, I'm Jill booting it, and I absolutely love it. Sarah, is there a situation now where there's a real viable need for even the average user to think about installing a Linux partition? I mean, is it because it was, you know, traditionally you got driver issues that were always problems with it, and then also you've got software-based problems of the fact there's not a lot, there wasn't, you know, tons of stuff to use for it. Is it a realistic jump now?
It's too early days for me to say for this one. I mean, the base one I've used up till now is mostly based around 9.10, which is obviously no longer supported, which is part of the reason why I've made the jump to the latest version. But I will go through it in detail, and I will let everyone know what my thoughts are on that. But my initial thoughts are probably no, not yet.
Someone's put in the chat room, is Abun 2 a sequel to Abun 1?
Dear.
Idiot.
Moving on swiftly.
That's really bad.
Simon, I find you responsible for that. You encouraged him.
Oh, okay. Thanks, James.
Steve.
Ian, do you have a cool thing for us?
It's the pink headphones.
I do. I've been spending money, which is a shock. And I bought myself a server.
What, a whole
That's
one?
A bit rad. It's an HP ProLive microserver.
No, they're pretty cheap at the moment.
Yep, £250, and I get £100 cash back.
Good heavens.
It's got 4 bays in like a proper server, and I can stick 8 terabytes in it if I can afford the drives.
No, not at the moment. Give it another 3 months.
Pardon?
How much does that cost overall? £130? £150?
Yeah, by the time discounts come on, it's about £130, £140.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what's the spec of that, Ian?
It's a little, it runs on a little Eco AMD processor, a Turion Neo N40, a couple of gigs of RAM, and a 1250 gig drive to get it started off. And then you can slap in 3 more disks if you want and take it as big as you like.
Yeah, it's how much memory, what's the upgradable to in terms of memory?
Again, 8 gig it will take, and people have been playing around. If you have a Google online, wow, there's been loads of people messing around with it, using it as a great basis for a little VMware server.
Yeah, well, that's.
I'm not entirely sure you get the hard drive that's in it for £130 at the moment.
No, you wouldn't. wouldn't. I mean, if you look at, I looked at Scan this week to see if drive prices were coming down, because one of the things that was interesting is that the Mac's delivery times went up to 7 weeks about a week and a half ago. And over the last couple of days, they've been coming down and down and down, and they're down to 2 to 4 weeks again now. So I'm thinking, oh, supplier drives is back. Have the prices come down? I went on to Scan. And a 2 terabyte drive, you're talking about spending £195. Well, that was under £100 6 weeks ago.
That's a good choice, Steve, Ian. Very good.
This one is upgradable to 8 gig.
It's been dominantly, I don't know how long this deal's going to last. It's been running all year, the £100 off. You just send back in a form and get a rebate. I mean, it's brilliant. For what it is, it's brilliant.
Even at £250.
You remember my pick from a couple of weeks ago, FreeNAS? I'm using that as DOS.
But even at £250, it's not the end of the world, is it?
And it comes with warranty.
Yeah, it's the AMD chip that puts me off.
Doesn't come in a plastic bag, does it? From some Dell boy down the market.
Get a free Reliant Robin.
If you buy a warranty, they'll give you even more money off.
Yeah, I mean, what's the performance like? Because I say I'm a bit sceptical because of the AMD chip.
It's not too bad. It's not a racehorse, but I don't think it's bad. It depends what you want to run on it. I mean, I've got FreeNAS running on it. And then on top of that, I've installed VirtualBox and I've got an XP client running off it.
And I imagine it's fairly good with
that. I've got a few type server things installed. It's running Python and everything else. Couldn't care less.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at buying a building or buying a server that I want to be able to run SharePoint VMs on. And I don't think that processor is going to cope with it. But otherwise, it sounds like a really good spec machine.
I mean, it depends how many VMs you're going to run off the back of that. It's only a dual core processor, I think.
Probably, I'm looking at probably running 3 or 4 at the same time.
I think you might start sweating a bit at that, I think.
I was kind of thinking about 16 gig.
There's a guy that's done a few reviews on running it as a VMware server using the full sort of DC of DHCP server DNS, 3 or 4 boxes all running off it, and he said it was doing fine.
Mm.
8 gigs of RAM in and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, they don't tend to be that much call on it with DHCP and DNS because even if it's a domain controller, it's not going to be that heavily used unless it's on a huge network, and then you'd have multiple ones of those servers anyway. But, you know, I still think that's a good price for what it is. That's pretty good.
You can't go wrong for what it is.
Have you got it yet?
Yeah, it's upstairs.
All good?
One of the things that's always... Because I've heard a lot of people saying about when they buy drives, oh no, I've got to get 7200 RPM. I can't deal with the 5400 RPM. But I mean, we stream all the movies around the house, and that's the biggest load that the server that I run's got, and it's only a Mac Mini linked to a series of external drives. But I mean, that copes. I mean, that can stream 3 movies to 3 Apple TVs all at once, watching different movies, and none of them skips a beat. They buffer just fine. There's no hold. There's no. They as soon as you click play, they start playing, and that's it. You can overspec the drives that you want very much. I think 5400 RPM is plenty fast enough for most of the things that you can do.
Found a cheap drive deal. If you don't mind ruining your warranty by cracking open the USB case, Maplin were doing some 2 terabyte Seagate discs for £89 a pop.
Mm.
Well, you just crack open the plastic and rip the disc out.
Just crack it out of the USB case and take the drive out. Got a perfectly usable 2 terabyte Seagate disk.
Well, you get 2 of those now for the current price of 1 on scan. At 72.
Yeah, they're £89.
You could probably sell it on eBay for more.
So now we have Bagel Tech this week in building a server.
This week in ripping off the general public. I got 2 picks for you. And the 2 picks are because I got one and I bought it the day before they released the one that I really would have liked to have bought with it. The one that's really cool for all of you is the gel wristband macro lens. Photojojo.com have got it. And basically, it's a gel wristband, but in it is a tiny piece of glass. And all you do is slip it off your wrist, stick it on your smartphone, and you've got an instant macro lens for your smartphone. It doesn't matter what smartphone you've got, because it's just a gel band, it just stretches around it, and away you go. It's a consistent-ish kind of size. From the pictures that I've seen that are taken with it, it looks really good. It's not bad at all. I was talking with Alex today on the photo show. We mentioned this in the news, and he said, "Oh, isn't that cool? You know, the simplest of ideas, and before you know it, it's superb." And Steve in the chat room said, "Well, why don't they do coloured ones? Why don't they do graduated ones? Why don't they do ones that do different types of effects?" And you're like, "Holy hell, yeah! They haven't even thought of that themselves. What a simple idea!" And it is, and it's $15. Photojojo.com. And the reason that I saw it was because I went to check on where my order was, because I wanted it last week, because I'd bought something that was really, really nice and cool. On Monday, I was working at a place and I dropped my camera. And it hit the floor. And I dropped it about 5-6 years ago on a flagstone floor in St. Martin's Church in Birmingham, and I put a crack in the chassis. But it works just fine after that. And I think I dropped it on the same place because I can't find any other marks on it. But I've got a big old dent in the chassis. There we go. But what I bought was this thing. $40, and it's a lovely piece of cowhide, and it smells beautiful because it's fresh leather. It comes in a lovely, nice little presentation case, so it's perfect for Christmas. And I ordered it on Monday, and it arrived on Saturday from the States via standard UPS Overland.
That is very good.
UPS Overland. But basically, you put it in, and it holds your thing up. There you go. Now, I can't use straps because I'm a fat bastard. They always look really short on me, and I look an idiot. So I love this, and I ran around on the rugby field last week with it on the Saturday, and felt really secure. Really good. There you go. $40, photojojo.com. And you get a free dinosaur with every order. We got pterodactyl this time.
It's amazing. It's got some really
Can
cool stuff
Can we see
stuff
the dinosaur?
The dinosaur, gave it to Ellis. But
I want to see the dinosaur.
Go into his room, get it.
He's in the loft because he's had all his toys confiscated as well. We weren't happy this week. No, it's so you, what you do is you order it, and every order you get a different random dinosaur thing in it. It's only about this big, but there's actually a website where people who get them take pictures of them in various settings and post them. So there's like a little subculture going along with this little toy. Superb. But definitely Photo Jojo, there's some stunning stuff on there. There's some stuff on there that is really friggin' expensive, but gorgeous. There's a wooden tripod on there that I would love to have, but I'd love to have it so that I could just have a camera sat in the corner of the room on it. It's I wouldn't use it in a million years. It'd be a ton in weight and hardly practical. But photojo.com is a pick in itself anyway. But the gel wristband, $15, and the side strap for your DSLR is $40. And I think I paid $5 shipping, and it was here in 6 days. 5 days. Can't beat it.
Impressive.
Where can we get a hold of you, James?
Yes, well, I'm going to be around. To tell you what, Christmas is so late on in the week. I've got a whole week of work left to do.
I'm working up till Thursday.
Sorry?
I'm working up till Thursday.
I've got Friday. I'm working on Friday.
22nd.
Ooh, I'm working till Friday as well.
Yeah. Are we okay to do Big Show next Friday?
Friday?
Yeah, can we do Friday instead of Thursday?
Are you kidding?
Well, because what we're going to do is on Friday, we're going to do the Rummaging Santa's Sack. And if you want to have a rummage in Santa's sack, then you'll never know what will come up. That's the theory of it. And when you have a rummage around...
Well, that's a prize draw, isn't it?
Yes, we've got to give away. We've definitely got a 1 terabyte laptop hard drive.
Worth £1 million now.
Oh, it is. It's really good, actually. I should have put it on eBay and just sold it with two of them. We've got three licenses for Camtasia 2, which is a gobsmackingly awesome piece of software. I've had a little play with it, and it is stunning as a screen capture system. I've got Snagit, three licenses for Snagit to give away as well as. And we may have a Nintendo 3DS, and we may have a camera. I need a phone call off a couple of people before I can say yes to those. So we might have a fair old prize day. And I thought what we could do is start in the morning and do the news show, and then we could give away a prize through each show then through the day and give away the terabyte drive on the big show right at the end. Is that all right? Or?
My only condition is that I can do it utterly off my face.
Yeah,
no, I was going to say, I'm likely to be in the same state.
I'm not expecting the show to have much technical content at all. It's okay. Christmas. Andy Natko's coming on the Mac show. We had...
He says that every week.
No, he's definitely coming. He said he's definitely coming. And we had Tom Merritt on the Mac show today as well. He was great. Good guy. Really nice time speaking to him. But I thought that'd be great. So we'll have a whole day of giving stuff away. There we go. The Rummage and Santa's Sack. If you'd like to take part, then all you've got to do is send an email to bageltechnews@gmail.com and just title it, I Want to Rummage in Santa's Sack. And then I'm going to put all of those. Ellis has got some. We've got enough now to think about using. He's got like a bingo caller thing. I was against it, but there we go. He's got a bingo caller thing. So we're going to put all the numbers in there and we'll pull the numbers out and we'll look at them on a spreadsheet. I'll give everyone a number, randomly shuffle them. And,
we're doing bingo numbers then.
We're using clickety-click. Well, it won't mean anything because we're not going to publish the list. So I can't give away everyone's email address and name. There you go.
Stewards Inquiry.
Where did we get up to on where can we get a hold of you? James, it's
SYZYGY on Twitter.
We hadn't started. Steve.
Lofhead HQ on Twitter or at LMUG. Just type that into Google. You'll find us, the London Mac User Group.
Is there any more meetings now before Christmas? Is that it?
That's it.
Right, so in the new year, your New Year's resolution has got to be to go to LMUG. There we go, if you live in the London area.
When is the one in January, Steve?
Yeah, because Sarah will own a MacBook by then.
Yes, come along, Sarah. You can be our special guest.
When is it in January?
It will be advertised on the website. It will be the second Monday in Jan.
Okay, because I've got a week off in January. If that's the same week, I may come.
So you're buying a MacBook and you're taking a week off?
No,
to
I'm not buying a MacBook.
I like this.
You've got to take down all the crucifixes in the pub, though, and and there can't be any silver and no garlic either.
Where's happened to Sarah?
Long, Sarah? Where's Sarah Gray? What? It's Invasion of the Bloody Body Snatchers. Where's Sarah Gray? What have you done with her?
Well, I live with a vampire, so why the hell not?
well, you live with a vampire?
I do. She's a phlebotomist.
Oh, right. I thought you invited him in.
Sorry? Sorry?
Looks after butterflies. Very good.
No, that's Lepidoptera. No, she takes blood for a living. Now.
I'm just impressed you know what a butterfly was down the piss, but there we go. Ian, where can we get a hold of you, mate, before this comes off the rails entirely?
The usual place, moaning on Twitter at TIY, BOA, turn it off and back on again. I'll be there somewhere.
A tried and tested
Hang
method.
Hang on a minute, I didn't do mine.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Sarah, we can get you at VampireHQ at...
and Elmer.
No, it's at Sarah Jane UK. On the Twitters.
Hey, we're going to change. We need to change your Twitter handle after you buy your Mac Pro to Sarah Diehard Mac User.
Okay, no, SarahSoldOut.com or something like
oh,
that.
Oh no, that's even better. Yeah, dancewiththedevil.com.
I like that actually. Quite good.
You can get me, Ewan Rankin, at Twitter on you. You can't. Forget it. It's all right.
At Bagel Tech News.
I can edit. Don't worry. You can get me on Twitter at Ewan Rankin or at Bagel Tech News. And you can get all of our stuff on bageltechnews.com. Spread the word. We need all the listeners we can get. Brand new year coming up. It's going to be our year, I'm telling you. And we've got the bash on the 6th of July. If you haven't already booked your hotel, get it booked. And see Steve Neighbour or see Carl at Claw 0101 on Twitter because they've got a bus coming up from London. So there'll be a whole pile of you can come up. And the bus size will be dependent on the number of people who apply.
Okay.
We have got a bus and we're
from London.
We will convince Carl that we won't need to kidnap people this time, so we actually will not be blindfolding people like you did last game to me. And we might call the police on the way as well.
You're going to do what?
Not Glasgow. Well, we're going to call at places if people live in between London and
like Luton, for
Birmingham,
example.
Milton Keynes.
What?
Essex.
Hello?
Essex.
On the other side of London.
Yeah, no, we'll join the fun bus of fun.
I think Mr. Fox is out my way as well.
Tone's already booked his hotel room and he's coming down on the train from Nottingham. And Paul is running a horse and cart from Norwich if anyone would like to dive in with him. So.
I take motor transport there.
I tell you what, it'd be faster than driving down the A14 or the A10. Yes. Come along, 6th of July next week and next year. And the other thing is, we talked on the photo show today. There was a bit of a suggestion in the chat room that we did a photo walk around Birmingham on the day before. What do you mean? Thursday for a photo walk, Friday for the.
That's bash. A good idea. Yeah.
There we go. Mm. Not there's much to shoot in Birmingham that's grey.
Well, I was going to say there's plenty of other places
there's
around,
places
aren't there?
They just have to get
about
a taxi
the Saturday,
to.
Yeah, the day after, because we've got a hotel that night, so that would.
Yeah, all right, we'll do it Saturday after. There we go. Good idea. I mean, it's the weekend, isn't it? No, only one day off work then. Cool.
Yeah.
Photo walk on Saturday. There we go. We'll see you again next week. Full day planned. We're going to have the new show in the morning, photo show at 2 o'clock, Mac show with Andy and Atko at 3:30, and then the big show at 9:30, and the big giveaway for the Rummaging Centre sec. There you go. See you next week. Thanks for listening.